Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And all these devotees, Murari, Sriman, Garud, Gangadas, Shivas Thakur, many of these personalities, they would come together and meet at Advaita Acharya's house. And when they would meet, they would only discuss topics of Krishna. And when they would discuss topics of Krishna, all the suffering in their heart, what they were feeling bad about the world, it would go away. The devotees tried to preach, they tried to explain to the non-devotees about why they should, you know, worship Krishna. But somehow nobody was able to understand. Nobody was interested at all. And then the devotees would lament why these people are not able to understand anything about Krishna. And the devotees would stay together and they would do Harinam all night. They would be singing, they would be chanting, they would be dancing all night long. And the neighbors, the people in that village, when they would hear the all night chanting and kirtan of these devotees, they were thinking, these people are all mad people. And they were actually calling them madmen. And the people in the village, they would say that if you all chant like this all night, the Muslim soldiers, they would get alert. They will understand that these Hindus are worshipping all night and creating a havoc. They will come and attack our village and throw our village into the Ganga. Practically none of us will be alive. So the other Hindus who were living in that village, they were forcing these people to stop chanting. So this was the situation of the people of Navadvipa at that point of time. The devotees were thinking the non-devotees are crazy, and the non-devotees are thinking the devotees are crazy. Nothing has changed even today, you know. Situation is exactly same, you know. If you are a devotee, those who are not, they think you are mad. And if you are, you know, those who are among devotees, when you discuss, you will say that those people are mad. Prabhupada once, he wrote an article in the Back to Godhead magazine, Who is Crazy? And that was the name of the article, you know. And the article essentially spoke about how Prabhupada is saying that everybody in this world thinks the other fellow is crazy. Those who consider themselves to be the body, those who consider themselves the body is the means of enjoyment, they think of those who live the life based on the Atma as crazy. And those who understand that we are not the body, we are the Atma, they feel that those who are living based on the bodily life, concept of life, they are crazy. So Advaita Acharya, he would get very angry when such situations, such conflicts would take place. And he started saying, I will make Krishna come down. And I will force Krishna to come down in the four-handed form. And he started saying, if Krishna does not come down himself, I will take the chakra and kill all the non-devotees. Advaita Acharya was himself, you know, Mahavishnu. So he could easily do that. So at such point, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Navadvip. The appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very interesting, because the moment Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world, he declared clearly that he has come to spread the holy name of the Lord. The day he was born was a lunar eclipse, and practically the entire Navadvip area, in those times, people would strictly follow at least these eclipses and, you know, the Vedic things, you know. So during the lunar eclipse, the system at that point of time was that nobody would remain at home. They would all come out, they would be bathing in the Ganga, so that the effect of the eclipse doesn't come on them. And more than that, along with bathing in the Ganga, the rule was that everybody had to chant the names of Hari. Everybody had to take the holy names of the Lord so that the lunar eclipse doesn't affect them. So whether they are Muslims, whether they are Hindus, whoever they were, they would sit, they would come together, they would stand in the middle of the Ganga and intensely call out the holy names. So literally, when Mahaprabhu was born, when this small child was born in Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata's house, the entire Navadvip town, they were all in the middle of the Ganga, the most auspicious place that you can be in, and doing the most auspicious activity. What? Chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. when the small child was born, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, he looked extremely beautiful, and he was named as Vishwambhar. One day, Advaita Acharya and all the associates, all the devotees, they were sitting together in Advaita Bhavan and discussing Krishna Katha. Suddenly, this small child, his name was Nimai, his name was Vishwambhar, he came running to Advaita Acharya's house, clothed only in four directions. That's how they would explain it in those days. That means not clothed at all, you know, completely naked. This small child came running into Advaita Acharya's house and stood at the door of Advaita Acharya. Nobody understood who he was, nobody understood where he came from, and nobody understood why he came there. He just stood over there for a few minutes staring at everybody, and then suddenly his elder brother Vishwaroop came, pulled his hand and took him away. The devotees, when they saw this beautiful form of the Lord, they didn't know it was their Lord at that point of time, but they were very, very mesmerized. They were very attracted in their hearts. One day, Advaita Acharya was discussing with all the devotees, and the devotees were saying how much the non-devotees are giving them pain, how much the non-devotees are disturbing their mind. During such this discussion, Advaita Acharya was telling all the devotees, I feel Krishna has come. I feel somewhere in Navadvip, Krishna has already taken birth. And just as Advaita Acharya said that, all the devotees got filled with happiness and they all intensely started shouting, Hari, Hari, Hari. And just as all the devotees are shouting, Hari, 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 this small child came running and stood at the door of Advaita Acharya. And all the devotees, when they looked at Advaita Acharya, at this small child, they were completely mesmerized. Again and again, why is this small child coming? And Advaita Acharya asked him, why have you come here? And the small child, he in turn asked Advaita Acharya, why did you call me? He said that and he ran away. The devotees had no idea what this child was saying. And they were so much covered over by the internal energy of the Lord that they didn't understand the meaning of what this child was saying. So like that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grew up in Navadvip. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started growing older and older, he started performing some really amazing pastimes that mesmerized people's minds, people's hearts. In fact, at a later point in his life, as he became a younger boy, he became one of the greatest scholars on earth. His name was Nimai Pandit. And he was such a scholar that practically nobody could stand in front of him in Sanskrit grammar. And practically people from all over the world were coming to him to learn Sanskrit. It was considered, if you learn from Nimai Pandit, there is no better teacher in the world that you can get. And Nimai Pandit was genuinely a great teacher. But though Nimai Pandit was a great teacher, he never really gave great importance to scholarship. He never really gave great importance to understanding of Sanskrit grammar and all that. At a certain point in Nimai Pandit's life, he wrote a book. And he wrote an entire book on Sanskrit grammar. This book was considered to be one of the best books ever written on Sanskrit grammar, till date. When Nimai wrote this book, he met another scholar whose name was Vallabh Bhatta. This person, he also wrote another book on Sanskrit grammar. Coincidentally, they happened to write it at the same time. Vallabh Bhatta was very impressed with Nimai Pandit, so he shared his copy, his manuscript with Nimai Pandit. They were traveling on the Ganga on a small boat. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, saw this grammar book of Vallabh Bhatta, he found many mistakes in it. And then eventually, he gave his book to Vallabh Bhatta. When Vallabh Bhatta saw the book of Nimai Pandit, he said, after reading this book, who in the world will ever touch my book also? Nobody will care for my book. He was feeling very sad. Nimai Pandit, to the shock of Vallabh Bhatta, you know what he did? He took his own manuscript, the only book that he had, and threw it in the Ganga. Gone forever. In the entire life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wrote only one book. And that was this one. And he threw it in the Ganga. The only copy of the book he had, the only manuscript he had, he threw it in the Ganga. Why? He wanted to show the world that what is important is not scholarship. What is the most important thing is not to prove that you are better than somebody else. It is to exhibit the quality of humility. And therefore, if you study Mahaprabhu's life, the entire life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as I said, he never wrote anything beyond this book, the Sanskrit book. The only other thing he wrote was the Shishtashtakam prayers. I was saying some time back, out of all the Vedic scriptures, the essence of all the Vedic scriptures is considered to be the Bhagavad Gita. 700 verses that Krishna spoke in the Gita. Now, the Bhagavad Gita, it starts with the basic concept of we are not the body, we are spirit soul. And it ends with Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vrij. Surrender to Krishna. Where Bhagavad Gita ends, Srimad Bhagavatam begins. The first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is directly about surrender to Krishna. Janmadi Asya Yata. And the Srimad Bhagavatam ends with Harinam. The 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the last verse talks about the importance of chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And where Srimad Bhagavatam ends, Chaitanya Charitamrita begins. Chaitanya Charitamrita begins with chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita ends with the Shishtashtakam prayers. So the 8 verses that are written by Mahaprabhu, the only other thing that Mahaprabhu wrote other than the Sanskrit book, are 8 verses which we recite every day, which is known as the Shishtashtakam. And out of those 8 verses that Mahaprabhu wrote, the most important of those 8 verses he considers him to be the essence of all those 8 verses is this verse known as Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnunam, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. So can you imagine how important this particular verse is? That means the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of the Charitamrita, and the essence of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shishtashtakam, is this one verse. Trinadabhi Sunichena. And can you imagine, by throwing this book into the Ganga, Mahaprabhu practiced this verse. Lived by this verse. Lived by the principle of humility. That means, the purpose of life is not to prove that you are better than somebody else. Because, the more you try to prove that you are better than somebody else, somewhere you are losing something. And what is that you are losing? You are losing taste in the holy name. You are losing taste in the essence of life. You're losing taste in the essence of all scriptures. And therefore, Mahaprabhu, by this one pastime of throwing this book into the Ganga, he taught us what is the essence of humility. Mahaprabhu lived a life of extreme, the initial phase, extreme scholarship. There was a there was a scholar whose name was Keshav Kashmiri. And this man, he was known as, he was a Digvijay Pandit. He was practically traveling around the entire country. And he would take Vijay Patra. That means he had a paper, he had a sheet, where all the greatest scholars of the country had signed. And they had signed after being defeated by him. That means that paper, that sheet, it said that I accept defeat under Keshav Kashmiri and I surrender to him. Signed. Can you imagine what kind of arrogance this fellow had, you know? He go around taking signs from everybody saying that I am better than you, you know. So here Mahaprabhu is trying to teach the concept of Trinadapi Sunichena, and this fellow is living exactly opposite on that concept, you know. Unfortunately, this is the dynamics between a devotee's life and a non-devotee's life. A person who has no interest in spiritual life, his life is to prove that I am better than others. And somebody who is interested in spiritual life begins by the concept of Trinadapi Sunichena, that I am insignificant. I am humble. I want to be humbler than a blade of grass. Mahaprabhu, when he came across Keshav Kashmiri, he didn't deal with him by debating with him. He actually dealt with him by humility only. Because when somebody is very arrogant, you cannot defeat that person by arrogance. Arrogance can only be defeated by humility. Because when somebody is arrogant and somebody else tries to prove himself better than that person, his arrogance only gets flared up. His ego only gets flared up. And you can never win anybody's heart by flaring up his ego. The only way you can win people's heart is to actually touch them in such a place that they have never really experienced that kind of love and affection and genuine compassion. When Keshav Kashmiri, came to know that Nimai Pandit is supposed to be the greatest scholar in Navadvip, he came and challenged him. Now, Nimai Pandit was consciously avoiding Keshav Kashmiri. He was consciously avoiding confronting Keshav Kashmiri because he knew what Keshav Kashmiri wanted. When Keshav Kashmiri came in front of Nimai Pandit, Nimai Pandit immediately said, "I'm sorry, I'm not a scholar at all. I don't know where you came to know about that I'm a scholar. I'm in front of you, I'm no one." Now Keshav Kashmiri was completely stunned. You know, he never expected this from Nimai Pandit. Finally, Nimai Pandit, just to make him happy, he said, "I heard that you are a scholar and you can compose poetry spontaneously." He said, Nimai Pandit requested Keshav Kashmiri, "Please, why don't you write some poetry about Mother Ganga?" Now, there were two reasons why Nimai Pandit said this. The first reason was so that he can humble him. The second reason was so that at least through composing poetry, this person gets a chance to glorify Mother Ganga. Because the purification that is going to happen in a human heart is not by defeat, but by actually taking the holy name, but by actually glorifying great personalities, divine personalities. So he gave this person a chance to glorify Mother Ganga and that way purify his heart. So Keshav Kashmiri, as soon as Mahaprabhu told this, he started composing poetry. Within the matter of a few minutes, he composed 100 original verses in Sanskrit, in pure Sanskrit, glorifying Mother Ganga. And this was not just regular verses. Each of the verses were unique compositions. Each of the verses were perfect in their rhythm, in their meter, in the language. And each of the verses glorified a different aspect of Mother Ganga. Can you imagine how much intelligence it requires to compose a verse, narrate it, compose the next verse, narrate it, and all this, he did it at the speed of the wind, literally. Nobody who was standing there even remembered one of the verses. I mean, for us, our memory anyway is short, you know. Most people who come to any classes, we were just discussing yesterday, you hear the same class two times. Today you hear, same class you hear tomorrow, you'll again come and say, "Arey Prabhuji, bohut acha class tha. Wo kal bhi wohi suna. Nahin, nahin, wo alag tha. Yeh alag hai." Our memory is so bad that we don't even remember what we have heard just now. And here was 100 original verses in pure Sanskrit being composed and people were zapped. So after the whole performance, Keshav Kashmiri, he looked at Nimai Pandit, naturally expecting Nimai Pandit to be impressed. Naturally expecting Nimai Pandit to be like astounded, bewildered, confused. But Nimai Pandit was completely composed, completely calm. He said, "Your poetry was perfect, immaculate. There are some really great points in your poetry and there are some defects in your poetry." This man, he couldn't handle it, you know. He said, "What do you mean by defects? When you really want to hurt, or rather if you want to bewilder a person who is a perfectionist, the way to bewilder a person who is a perfectionist is tell them there is one defect here." Like the story, you know, that is often told about Yamaraj. You know, one time Yamaraj came to catch one fellow and this fellow didn't want to die. So what he did was he created 9 sculptures exactly like himself. These 9 sculptures looked exactly like him, dressed like him, you know, the shape and size and form, color, everything was exact same. So Yamaraj, when he came, he saw 10 people standing. He was confused, who is an actual person? So Yamaraj realized, ego is one thing that differentiates the non-living from the living, you know. Yamaraj pointed out one statue and he said, there is a defect over here. Immediately the sculptor said, impossible. And as soon as he said impossible, Yamaraj took him and went there. So here, Keshav Kashmiri, perfectionist. And Mahaprabhu, the way he dealt with the perfectionist is poking him in one place. He said, everything is perfect. There are so many good points, there is some defects. This man, he couldn't handle it. He forgot all the glorification, you know. He said, what do you mean by defect? Tell me which defect is there. And then Mahaprabhu, he started pointing out which verse, 20th verse this defect is there, 31st verse this defect is there, 64th verse. This guy, he was so bewildered. He said, how do you remember? Even I don't remember what I composed. Mahaprabhu was not just able to remember which verse, which number of the verse it is, which defect it was also he remembered. Keshav Kashmiri was completely confused. Now all that Mahaprabhu said was right. There were actually defects in his composition. But who in the world at that speed can find those defects? Keshav Kashmiri didn't have the ability to speak another word. He was so confused, he was so bewildered. Nimai told him, he was very humble. In spite of pointing out the defects, Nimai was very humble. He said, it happens when you are composing verses at this speed and when you are composing verses at, you know, so many verses, it happens. Sometimes it happens, the defects happen. And he said, it looks like you are very tired after composing so many verses. We can discuss tomorrow if you like. You can go take some rest and come back. Tomorrow we will discuss. This man, he just needed that, you know, because at this point of time he was not in any position to handle any more discussion. He went all night long. The only thing that was running in his mind was, how in the world did Nimai Pandit find these defects? How did he first remember the verses? How did he find the defects? And then he started praying to Mother Saraswati, who was his worshipable personality. And he started praying to her, saying that, Mother, how did you let me down? How can I make mistakes? You know, this is the problem in practicing bhakti. This is the problem in living a life of based on Krishna consciousness. The false ego convinces you so much that I don't need anybody to take shelter of, that I don't need anybody to take guidance from, I don't need anybody to correct me. This false ego is so strong in every human being. No matter how defective we are, we consider ourselves to be perfect. And here, Keshav Kashmiri was begging to Mother Saraswati to tell him why this happened to him. Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, he was asking that question to Mother Saraswati. So, Mother Saraswati appeared to him in a vision, and she told him that the person who gives you strength, you are worshipping me and I give you strength and scholarship. So she said, the person whom I get strength from is Nimai. I can give you strength, I can give you empowerment only to the extent that he gives me. She said, this person is not ordinary, this is Supreme Lord Krishna himself. Go and take shelter of him immediately. The next day morning, Keshav Kashmiri, in that, you know, desperate state, he went and took shelter of Nimai Pandit and he became a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eventually. The story goes on to show a very simple thing, that though Nimai Pandit was such a scholar, he was such a perfectionist and he was such a exalted personality in terms of Sanskrit grammar and Sanskrit scholarship at that point of time, he didn't care at all for it. Interestingly, when the Lord takes his leelas, he takes his incarnations, he knows specifically which particular form he should take to have the greatest impact. 500 years back, being a scholar was the thing to do. Being a scholar was the most important position to have in society at that point of time. If Mahaprabhu had to take an incarnation today, maybe he would have been a Bollywood star or a, you know, cricket star or something like that. Because today, nobody cares for scholars, you know. I mean, nobody cares a damn for scholars. So, the Lord does his pastimes in such a way that he knows how to create the greatest impact in society. So, like this, Mahaprabhu would do so many beautiful leelas and pastimes. And each of these leelas was for a particular reason. There was one particular time where Mahaprabhu did one particular pastime that was completely bewildering. That actually very, very important from the point of view of establishing the Siddhanta that he had come to establish. One of the most important roles of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to establish personalism, personal worship of Krishna. And therefore, Mahaprabhu was very, very strong about anyone who was propagating impersonalist philosophy. One time, Advaita Acharya, who was one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was feeling very bad. Because Advaita Acharya was a much older person. As I was saying, when Mahaprabhu was born, Advaita Acharya was already, you know, one of the senior most Vaishnavas. So naturally he was much older in age compared to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Advaita Acharya had a problem with Mahaprabhu that though he worshipped Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu is God, Krishna himself, but Mahaprabhu never allowed him to personally worship him, or rather even personally accept respect from Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya was a much older person. So Mahaprabhu would always serve Advaita Acharya. He would always touch his feet, he always would serve him, he would do some menial services for him. And Mahaprabhu never allowed Advaita Acharya to do anything for him. So Advaita Acharya was very hurt, you know. He said, I only call the Lord, and the Lord has appeared on my request, and he is not allowing me only to serve him. He is not accepting me as his servant. He said, I am going to rectify this. And the way he decided to rectify this, he said, the only thing that angers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is impersonalism. He said, now onwards, today onwards, I am going to join ... organization and preach impersonalism, you know. And actually full-fledged, Advaita Acharya actually started propagating impersonalism. He studied a book known as Yoga Vashishta, and intensely he was preaching in Navadvip impersonalism. How worship of Krishna is bogus, you have to worship impersonal form of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard Advaita Acharya preaching impersonalism, he said, I am going to teach him a lesson. I will not allow him to teach impersonalism. And when Advaita Acharya came to know that, you know, Mahaprabhu was getting angry, he started preaching even more intensely, you know. Previously he would do one class a week. Now he started doing 7 classes a week on impersonalist philosophy. So he was really agitating Mahaprabhu like anything, you know. There was only one person who understood what Advaita Acharya was doing, and that was Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur always used to smile when he would see Advaita Acharya preaching impersonalist philosophy. Because he knew Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur were best of friends. So Mahaprabhu, at one point, he decided, he took Nityananda Prabhu along with him. And he told him, let us go to Shantipur and teach Advaita Acharya a lesson. So Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu, they were, you know, on their way to Shantipur to meet Advaita Acharya and rectify him from, stop him from teaching impersonalism. On their way, as both Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu were on their way, they came across a village which was known as Lalitapur. So in Lalitapur, it was a long distance that they had to travel. So in Lalitapur, they came to a small house. And Nityananda Prabhu, he told Mahaprabhu that, you know, why don't you take some rest for some time before we go ahead? I know one person over here who is a sannyasi. So Mahaprabhu said, fine, sannyasi, we'll go and meet him, no problem. They knocked on the door of this house, and this sannyasi opened the door. And, you know, naturally Mahaprabhu paid respects to him because he's a sannyasi and all that, you know. And then as he paid respects to this person, you know, this sannyasi, he said, I bless you with wealth, fame, learning, good wife and all that. Lord Chaitanya said, I don't want all these blessings, you know. He said, bless me, give me Krishna blessing. This is not real blessing. this sannyasi, he said, what kind of a person are you? You know, purpose of life is to have all this, and I am giving you a blessing for all this. Why don't you accept it? Nityananda Prabhu took Mahaprabhu on the side and he told him, don't argue with him too much. This is not a regular sannyasi. He is a different type of sannyasi. So Mahaprabhu didn't understand what is the meaning of different type of sannyasi. Then Nityananda Prabhu said, this is a householder sannyasi. You know. So what do you mean by householder sannyasi? So Nityananda Prabhu told him, he is a householder sannyasi. He is a sannyasi also, but he has a wife, he has children also. You know. So Mahaprabhu was totally bewildered. So then, you know, Mahaprabhu hit his head, you know, and he said that one should never ask for material benedictions. And he said, everything that we have got in our life, whatever food we get, is a result of previous actions, previous karma that we have done. If the purpose of life is to earn wealth, then why does death come? So Mahaprabhu started preaching to this householder sannyasi that he should not be after material things and all that. This householder sannyasi started telling Mahaprabhu, he said, what an age has come. I have to learn from a baby what is right and what is wrong. Because from age point of view, Mahaprabhu was very small compared to this man. This fellow was quite old. So this Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he intervened and he said, my dear sannyasi, I know that you are a very famous person and I know that, you know, you are much older than all of us. Please forgive us. Give us something to eat and we'll go ahead. So this householder sannyasi, he requested, you know, his wife and his servants to get food for Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. So they got mangoes, they got jackfruits, they got all fruits. Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they offered the fruits to Krishna and they started eating. Now after they ate fruits to their fill, this householder sannyasi came next to Mahaprabhu and he started telling him, can I get you some bliss? Now Mahaprabhu didn't understand. He said, you know, what do you mean by bliss? His householder sannyasi, no. Can I get you some bliss? Very special bliss, you know. Nityananda Prabhu, so Mahaprabhu still didn't understand what he is saying. Nityananda Prabhu explained to him. He said, my dear Lord, this fellow is asking you if he can get you some liquor to drink. Mahaprabhu was so frustrated. First of all, sannyasi, householder sannyasi. On top of this, he was giving material blessings. And now he is saying, I'll get bliss, you know. Mahaprabhu closed his ears, ran, and with his clothes, he jumped into the Ganga, you know. So Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu, they covered the rest of the journey swimming, you know, in the Ganga. And they somehow reached Shantipur, where Advaita Acharya's house was. So when Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu reached Shantipur, as soon as Mahaprabhu got on the shores of the banks of the Ganga in Shantipur, he started getting angry all over again. Because now he remembered Advaita Acharya's impersonal philosophy and impersonal teaching. He started shouting, I am that, I am that. So everybody was completely bewildered, you know, what is Mahaprabhu saying? I am that, I am that. And then Mahaprabhu started saying, Advaita Acharya has called me over here. He has brought me down from Vaikuntha and now he is speaking impersonal philosophy. He said, today I am going to punish him. And Mahaprabhu, he started going towards Advaita Acharya's house. When Advaita Acharya heard that Mahaprabhu has already come to Shantipur, Advaita Acharya started even more intensely preaching impersonal philosophy, you know. He was like really intensely preaching impersonalism. He gathered a big gathering and he was like heavily preaching. And when Mahaprabhu entered that place where Advaita Acharya was preaching, Sachi Devi, Advaita Acharya's wife, Haridas Thakur, Achyuta, Advaita Acharya's son, all of them, they paid obeisances to Mahaprabhu. Advaita Acharya saw Mahaprabhu but he ignored him. And he was preaching impersonal philosophy like anything. So Mahaprabhu, he went all the way to where Advaita Acharya was speaking. And he stopped him, caught his neck, and he asked him, tell me which is superior, devotional service or speculative knowledge? Which is more superior than the two? Advaita Acharya loudly said, speculative knowledge is more superior. You know? Mahaprabhu caught his neck, dragged him down, started kicking him, started punching him, started beating him like anything. Advaita Acharya, when he was getting beaten by Mahaprabhu, when he was getting kicked by Mahaprabhu, he was smiling, he was laughing, he was very happy, you know. And all the other devotees, they were trying to stop Mahaprabhu from beating Advaita Acharya like anything. He said, oh, he's an old man, he will die. Mahaprabhu kept beating him like anything. And finally, after Mahaprabhu beat him sufficiently, Advaita Acharya fell at the feet of Mahaprabhu and begged forgiveness. And he told Mahaprabhu, my dear Lord, today I am happy. So Mahaprabhu said, why are you happy today? He said, today you have accepted me as your servant. First time in your entire life you have accepted me as your servant. Just see, you are kicking me. Just see, you are hitting me. That means you have accepted that I am a servant and you can do anything with me. Mahaprabhu, then he realized why Advaita Acharya was doing all this, you know, this whole pastime of speaking impersonalism. Through this pastime, Mahaprabhu showed two things. First thing is that, even if you are a close associate of Mahaprabhu, even if you are the most exalted of the Vaishnavas, oldest of the Vaishnavas, if you speak impersonalism, you will get beaten up like this, you know. That's the extent to which Mahaprabhu was going to show how important and how much he hated the concept of Mayavad and the concept of impersonalism. And the second thing he wanted to show was that a devotee of the Lord, he is not aspiring for glorification and appreciation. He wants to be a humble servant in front of the Lord and his devotees. And to establish that, a devotee can go to any extent. Look at what Advaita Acharya did to actually be called a servant. Unfortunately, in today's time and age, being called a servant is not something that you are proud of. Being called a servant is not something that you associate a lot of pride with. But here, in the what is the highest in the material world is the lowest in the spiritual world. And what is the lowest in the spiritual world is the highest in the material world. The highest in the material world is sense gratification. That's considered to be the lowest thing in the spiritual world. And what is the lowest in the material world? It's to be a servant. That's considered to be the highest in the spiritual world. To be a servant means the topmost position in the spiritual world. And that's what, you know, Advaita Acharya yearned for. Mahaprabhu was not giving him that position. Mahaprabhu was treating him as a father, treating him as, you know, as his guru and treating him as a worshipable object. Advaita Acharya was not interested in that position. What he was interested in the position of being a servant. And therefore, Advaita Acharya went to such an extent to establish his role as the servant of Mahaprabhu. As I was saying, that Haridas Thakur and Advaita Acharya were the best of friends. Actually, if you study, both of them had nothing in common. Advaita Acharya was a householder. Haridas Thakur was a renunciant. Advaita Acharya was born in the highest Brahminical order in society. He was the greatest scholar and highest Brahminical order. Haridas Thakur was born in a Mohammedan family, considered to be completely, you know, from the caste point of view, at a much lower rung. Not just that, he was, you know, not so educated as Advaita Acharya, not as scholarly as Advaita Acharya. But somehow, they were the best of friends. Actually, this particular friendship indicates that spirituality is beyond externals. Externally, whatever our differences may be there, that's something that society has set. But at the level of the Atma, there is no difference. At the level of the Atma, there is actually only similarity, only connection. Therefore, Advaita Acharya, he, by developing such deep friendship with Haridas Thakur, showed the world what is really Vaishnava relationships. Haridas Thakur was a very exalted personality in Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And he used to live by the Ganga, and he would chant the whole day long, practically crying, and he would exhibit different ecstatic symptoms. And Advaita Acharya completely provided for Haridas Thakur. He took care of the maintenance of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur didn't work. Haridas Thakur didn't earn any money as such. The only thing he would do was all day long keep chanting. And Haridas Thakur had so much faith in the holy name of the Lord that literally he worshipped the holy name, he chanted the holy name continuously and served the holy name all day long, practically all his life. Every day he would chant about 192 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which would take approximately about 22 hours. And can you imagine, you know, after chanting 192 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, after chanting for 22 hours, he would sleep. The remaining 2 hours, he would do sleeping, he would do his, you know, all his daily activities, he would eat, whatever else he needs to do, he would do in those remaining 2 hours, you know. Probably if, you know, somebody had to imitate Haridas Thakur, you would probably do chanting, and along with chanting, do other things, you know. One hand bead bag and other things, you know, phone on one hand, keep doing other things on the other hand. That's probably the way we will manage it. But Haridas Thakur is completely absorbed in the holy name, nothing else except chanting the holy names. One time, Haridas Thakur, as he was chanting, he came to the notice of the Qazi, the governor of that province, and the Qazi, he actually complained to the king, and Haridas Thakur, he was imprisoned, he was put sent to jail. When Haridas Thakur was imprisoned, now what was his fault? His fault was nothing but he was chanting the holy names, and he was born in a Mohammedan family, but he was chanting the names of Hindu God. That's what the Qazi blamed him for, and he was taken to the prison. So when Haridas Thakur was taken to the prison, there were many, many people in the prison. Some of them were really good people. They had not done anything wrong. And as soon as Haridas Thakur entered into the jail, entered into the prison, all the prisoners felt ecstatic. They felt happy. They had smiles on their faces. This is the result of a devotee going anywhere. If a devotee goes, if somebody who is genuinely interested in practicing spiritual life, if somebody is genuinely sadhu, if such a person goes anywhere, he brings smiles on people's faces. As soon as the prisoners saw Haridas Thakur, first time in so many months and years, some of them had smiled. They felt actually happy from within. And the prisoners, they started moving towards Haridas Thakur, associating with Haridas Thakur, and they asked Haridas Thakur for blessings. And Haridas Thakur, as soon as he saw the prisoners and he saw the symptoms that manifested in the prisoners' lives, he gave them a blessing. He said, you know what was Haridas Thakur's blessing? His blessing was, may you continue to remain in your present condition forever. Now the prisoners were completely bewildered. He said, my dear Haridas, is this a blessing or is it a curse? We are in a prison. You are telling us we should remain in this condition forever. Then Haridas Thakur explained. He said that this entire world is like a big prison only. And he said, within a big prison, you are in a small prison. So it's not that if you get out of this prison, you will be free. You are still in the prison only. It's just that the prison appears much bigger, the walls appear much bigger. So Haridas Thakur said, the blessing that I gave you is that may you be, when you continue to remain in the present condition means, in spite of being inside a prison, you are smiling and you are happy. And he said that ultimately, what is the most important thing that is required to be able to chant the holy names of the Lord is humility. And in the present condition in which you are, in a bound state, you are in the most humble state to be able to chant the holy names of the Lord. So Haridas said, I bless you that you continue remaining in this state. Not in terms of externals. Whether this jail is there or not there, you are still bound in the material world, which is like a prison house. I bless you that you consciously remain in this state that you are in, mentally. So the prisoners were very happy with Haridas Thakur's association. And the next day, Haridas Thakur was taken to the governor. And when the governor saw Haridas Thakur, he was very impressed with Haridas Thakur's personality. Because Haridas Thakur was not just in terms of just being born in a Yavana family, but he was also extremely handsome to look at, extremely strong to look at. He was very impressive personality as such. The governor, when he looked at Haridas Thakur, he was very impressed. He said, you are most fortunate to be born in the Yavana class, and more than that, you have such handsome features. Why are you inclined to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra? Why are you inclined to chant the Hindu gods' names? Haridas Thakur, he started laughing. He said, just see, the illusory potency of Lord Vishnu is in action. There is only one God, and he is saying Hindu God and Muslim God. The governor, he was very, very irritated with Haridas Thakur's behavior. He started telling him that if you don't chant the names of our gods, and if you don't stop chanting the names of Hindu gods, we will beat you in 22 marketplaces. Haridas Thakur said, whatever you do with me, I am still going to chant the holy names of the Lord because I am addicted to it. I am helplessly addicted to the holy name of the Lord. The governor, he directed his guards to take Haridas Thakur and beat him in 22 marketplaces. The history of the governor's experience has been that any prisoner is beaten more than 2 or 3 marketplaces, he dies. He doesn't survive, you know. Haridas Thakur was actually taken and beaten in 22 marketplaces. The guards, the people who were beating him, they were such powerful wrestlers, they were such powerful personalities, that literally with one whip, a person would cry, bleeding, crying like anything. Haridas Thakur, no matter how much he was being beaten, constantly from his mouth the holy name was coming out, constantly the holy names were being chanted. And more than anything else, Haridas Thakur would look at these guards with a lot of empathy. He would feel bad for them, you know. Just look at how much they are struggling to beat me. The guards were not able to understand, why is this fellow smiling? He should be crying and we should be smiling. But after so many marketplaces, we are crying and he is smiling, you know. They continued beating him, but nothing happened. Haridas Thakur was taking all the beatings on his body, but he constantly kept chanting the holy names of the Lord incessantly. And finally, when Haridas Thakur realized that these people were completely exhausted, the guards fell at the feet of Haridas Thakur and they said, please die. Because as long as you are alive, we are in trouble, you know. Please die for our sake. And Haridas Thakur thought, why should my living affect somebody else? Let me die so that they are happy. And Haridas Thakur just stopped breathing. He completely held his breath, he stopped breathing. And the prisoner, when the guards, they saw that Haridas Thakur is literally like dead, they picked him up and threw him in the Ganga. After a few minutes, he revived himself, he swam and came back to the land, you know. And then he was roaming around in the streets. Later on, when the Qazi saw Haridas Thakur roaming around in the streets, he was completely bewildered. He said, this man died, how did he come back to life? And they brought him back to the governor. When the governor saw Haridas Thakur and he heard the whole story, he actually fell at the feet of Haridas Thakur and he said, you are right. There is only one God, and the same God that we worship as Allah, you are worshipping as Krishna. Please continue doing it and you continue blessing me. He actually fell at Haridas Thakur's feet and took blessings from Haridas Thakur, considering him to be a genuine saint. Haridas Thakur walked out of the palace of the governor completely unaffected by the whole thing. Not that he was more proud that he has achieved something big. He was just as humble as he was. And as Haridas Thakur continued living like this, when he walked away from that place, he came across a bazaar, you know. And in this bazaar, there was a snake charmer who was performing a dance. And as soon as Haridas Thakur saw this snake charmer, saw the snake and he saw the snake charmer performing this dance, internally Haridas Thakur started remembering the pastime of Krishna dancing on Kaliya. And Haridas Thakur, when he remembered the pastime of Krishna dancing on Kaliya, he was so much affected, he was so much in ecstasy, he went into a trance. And he actually started rolling on the ground in ecstasy. And he started crying, he started exhibiting Ashtavikar, you know. And when all the people in that village, they saw what was happening to Haridas Thakur, they realized that this was genuine devotion, symptoms of ecstasy. They actually started taking the dust from the feet of Haridas Thakur and putting it on the head. There was one particular Brahmana who was amongst them, amongst the people. And he saw Haridas Thakur rolling on the ground, crying tears, and people worshipping him, thinking him to be a genuine sadhu. This Brahmana said, wow, this is a fast way to get worship. So he said, let me also do same thing. He started acting like Haridas Thakur, rolling on the ground, crying, exhibiting ecstatic symptom. Everybody understood this was a cheater. They all beat him up with sticks, and this Brahmana ran away to save his life. Essentially, both these stories, the story of the hypocritical Brahmana and the story of the extremely proud and fanatic Qazi, are exactly same. This fanatic Qazi, he was thinking that my religion is the best, and because I am following my religion, I am the best. And the Brahmana, he was thinking, we are supposed to be Brahmanas, we are supposed to be worshipped. Who is this fellow? He is born in a Mohammedan family, he has nothing great in terms of his birth, why are people worshipping him? The mindset, whoever you are, wherever you are, is exactly the same. And therefore, through both these stories, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they teach us what is important is real devotion. What is important is sincere devotion to the Lord and the holy names of the Lord. Birth doesn't matter. What your caste is doesn't matter. What kind of education you have doesn't matter. What kind of upbringing you have doesn't matter. And what kind of scholarship you have doesn't matter. What really matters is whether you have genuine devotion in your heart. And if you have genuine devotion in your heart, everybody can see it. You don't have to go and tell the world, I am a great devotee. You don't have to go and show the world that you are a great devotee by dressing up in a certain way, by behaving in a certain way. The world will recognize a genuine devotee just by looking at him. That is what the great greatness of Haridas Thakur and all the associates of Mahaprabhu is. And therefore, Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Mahaprabhu's leelas are here to teach us the higher principles of devotional service. The externals of devotional service everybody knows. But the depth of devotional service nobody knows. What it means to be a sincere devotee nobody knows. Externally, India is a place of Vedic culture. Everyone knows what it means to be practicing Krishna consciousness externally. But what is the mood in which we should practice Krishna consciousness? That is what we learn from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Mahaprabhu, as we saw in this drama which was before this, he has not come to destroy the demons. Of course, when we show Jagai Madai pastime, it's more like a comedy show than anything else. But actual Jagai Madai, they were not comedians. They were really powerful people. And the transformation of Jagai Madai just shows us that Mahaprabhu, he didn't come to destroy demons. Because if Mahaprabhu had to destroy demons, he had to destroy every one of us. Because in each one of us, we have sufficient quantities of demonic propensities that keep coming out at different times, According to the right situation, it comes out. Mahaprabhu has come to destroy the demonic propensity that is within each one of us. And that demonic propensity can be destroyed by two things. One is by chanting the holy names of the Lord. We are connecting with our Atma. We are connecting with our inner higher being, higher consciousness. And the second, when we study the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we understand what it means to be a genuine devotee. So therefore, it's not just by chanting the holy names of the Lord your transformation will happen. Along with chanting the holy names of the Lord, when we study Mahaprabhu's pastimes, when we study the pastimes of the exalted devotees of the Lord, and we want to emulate them, not imitate them, when we want to follow in the footsteps of these exalted devotees, we have to put an endeavor. And therefore, Trinadapi Sunichana, the verse that we started talking about, this verse, it talks about three things. Humility, more humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, offering respects to others, expecting none in return. And it says, only such a person can chant the holy names of the Lord incessantly. What does it mean? It doesn't mean that by chanting the holy names of the Lord, these three qualities will manifest in our life automatically. We have to work to develop these qualities individually. That means when we hear the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, when we hear the pastimes of the associates of Mahaprabhu, we realize that these qualities of humility, tolerance, giving respect to others, expecting no respect to oneself, these are qualities that we have to individually endeavor to develop. And when we develop these qualities, even a fraction of these qualities, then we develop taste for the holy names. So it is symbiotic. When we chant the holy names of the Lord, it is easier for us to develop these qualities. And when we develop these qualities, it's easier for us to chant the holy names constantly. Therefore, we have to do effort in both directions. Take inspiration from the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how the associates chanted incessantly. And take inspiration from the behavior of the associates of Mahaprabhu to learn how we should behave in our life as devotees, as Vaishnavas. What is expected as devotee in terms of standard of behavior? And when we do both, then we really follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. And when we really, that is when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really takes birth in our hearts. So when we celebrate the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as one of the avatars of the Lord, we have to remember, this is an avatar that has not come to destroy the demons, but it has to come to destroy the demonic propensity which is within each one of us. Most of the incarnations of the Lord, they have destroyed demons and gone away. The demons are gone. But this is a particular incarnation of the Lord that is going to remain for thousands of years to come, because the demons are still alive. And the demons are very much alive within each one of us. Externally we may be dressed as devotees, but internally we are harboring demons within us. And therefore Mahaprabhu's pastimes and Mahaprabhu's leelas have to still continue. One Jagaya Madhaya being transformed is not enough. There are millions of Jagaya Madhayas left, and we are all Jagaya Madhayas in that sense. So the day the few Jagaya Madhayas that are sitting in this room get purified and get transformed into what were associates of Mahaprabhu, then probably Mahaprabhu's mission is going a little ahead. And the day all the Jagaya Madhayas in the world want to get transformed, that day Mahaprabhu's mission is really going ahead. So there's a lot of work to do. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is just beginning. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we are very thankful to His Grace Shubh Vilas Prabhu for giving us a glimpse in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'd like to thank Him by loudly chanting three times. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari. So we'll have a few important announcements now, and after the announcement we have Sankirtan. So first of all, we would like to welcome the guests who have come here for the very first time. सबसे पहले हम उन्हीं सभी भक्तों का और अतिथियों का स्वागत करना चाहेंगे जो कि आज की संडे फीस्ट कार्यक्रम में पहली बार आए हैं. Our reception team, who is standing just near the Hanuman Ji's Vigraha, will welcome you to Shri Radha Gopi.